Yeah, and before we just, I just thought of one more thing too, but before, I know she's recording it, that's all right. We're going to talk about a commencement exercise speech that Tony Robbins gave, and but we'll get into that in a second. I just wanted to highlight everybody again to the amount of prospecting that's going on, and I've been doing a tremendous amount. Last week I was in Austin for 3 days, and we just went into a bunch of meetup groups, and I don't know how many of you are using meetup groups, but maybe I can do a call just on how to expand your prospecting, because today there's 101 ways of really touching so many lives. Between, there are just tons of groups out there, and people are hungry for information, and they get together to learn more and help each other out, and it's a blessing. So I've really got turned down to meetup groups. I've found a lot of great people and made some super contacts, so I'm excited about all of that as well. So just another idea for you to just look up meetup groups in your area and see if you can't join one and go and you know, do some socializing with people and see how you can help them in their business and how they can help you in yours. So let's talk about this speech, because the speech, the information I got really came from Al Ballet. He posted it on his Facebook page, and Lydia was so excited about it, she gave it to me. As I read through it, I saw a lot of validity. In fact, I kind of sunk my thoughts into it, and I said, you know what, this could answer a lot of questions for me about why some people make it and some people don't in my business, and why people, you know, no matter how passionate they might be, maybe they fall short. What's the missing element in this? And the topic of the whole post that Al Ballet did to his Facebook, he entitled it, even though this wasn't the title of the commencement exercise by any means, he just said, "You must be hungry, one of the three H's of the three-point plan." And I haven't heard of the three H's before. I know the 3 points in the three-point plan, and so do all of you if you've looked at the first Monday training call I did after the wrap-up of Manifest. I highlighted the three-point plan, and so we're familiar with the 3 points in the three-point plan, but now Al's got the three H's to the three. And so I think one of them is honable, be honable, and this one is hunger. I can't remember. Do you remember the other H, Lydia? I don't. But so Al's taking it to, he's going in steps of threes and everything, but hunger is a big one. Oh, honesty, that's probably honorable or honesty. That makes sense, yeah. And honable means teachable, coachable. You're willing to surrender. You're not stuck in the need to be right. You're willing to be teachable, coachable, and surrender to do something a little different than perhaps you've done in the past. So, but hunger is a big one. Hunger is a huge one. In fact, hunger is a big one for all of us, and it's intriguing to me because it really opened up a new avenue of my thought process, because I've been in networking for numbers of years now. Manatech's been around 20, so that must mean I've been in about 17 years. And the intriguing thing to me doing this industry is that when I first got involved, what drove me versus what drove other people? Why did I become so successful? Why do other people not so successful? Because I see a lot of energy out there. In fact, a lot of you know me, and I hug on you and love on you every time I get the opportunity at all the conventions. If you're not in my organization, I only get to see you perhaps at the national conventions. But I always, in my heart of heart, it just, I want all of you to be walking across stage. I want everyone in Manatech to be successful. So it just breaks my heart when I see people sometimes. I go, golly, how can I help them be successful? And one of the reasons I do my Monday call is to pour into people to help you, you know, learn and educate and maybe take on a new look, turn the crystal a little bit to see the light reflecting differently. Because if we want to create something different, we have to come from a different place, right? So it's about where are those missing spots, they're almost like blind spots we have in our life that aren't helping us move us forward, they're actually holding us back. And some of them we can see, but they're called blind spots for a reason. A lot of them we can't see, and so we need something to kind of shake us up and move us out of the direction we're on or the path we're on in order to create different results. So this is why this whole article was kind of intriguing to me, because I think it opens up some ideas about what that is for us. And the title is, of course, Hunger. It's about being hungry. And if you tie back to, you know, I remember a famous commencement exercise that was given by Steve Jobs at Stanford University. I don't know how many on this call heard that commencement exercise, but it was very motivational. And you hope that that's what commencement exercises are, right? Because you're speaking to a whole group of, you know, new grads, fresh grads of college to move out in the real world and go out and pursue their passions and their dreams. And Steve Jobs concluded his commencement speech. He said, stay hungry, stay foolish. So, you know, there's the hunger word, right? Stay hungry. So he knew Steve Jobs was a very hungry guy. Stay foolish was his way about don't let society trap you into a structure so that you can't have free-flowing thoughts at any moment. He wants everybody, he didn't mean it to be stay goofy. He just said his foolish for him was that, you know, extremely thinking out and staying outside the comfort zone in that box that we tend to get stuck in. Think outside the box. Distorted reality theory was one of his things that really, when I first read his book, I remember I went crazy with that concept because it was like, that sounds like me. You know, it's like, I don't live in reality. I take reality and I shift it. I move it. You know, it's like, okay, if this is what you think reality is, I'm going to change it, right? Because I don't like what's going on. So guess what? I'm moving it, redirecting it. I'm convicted to make a difference. So that's what Steve Jobs was all about his whole life. So the speech by Tony Robbins was similar in that regard in terms of about the concept of hunger. So let's talk about that. He was reviewing the life of millennials, and I put this in the talk today because I think it's important. We're approaching a lot of people in that age group these days, at least I am. I spent a lot of time in Austin last week, and trust me, there are a lot of 20-year-olds in Austin that are hanging out because it's huge base is that campus, the University of Texas, Austin. So millennials are an intriguing group, and the life of millennials today, when we look at them, Tony Robbins, of course, talks about everybody he hires, they're all millennials, and he says, here's some of the characteristics, and to understand millennials, you have to understand what they're about. They have so much, there's so much attention, it's always competing for their time. There's just tons of different, you know, things going on in their lives competing for their time. Their life is fast, their music loud, the options are endless. It's an era of go-go fun and invincibility. These people really feel like, you know, they're invincible. And some of us can relate to that because even though we're not millennials, we were in that age group at one time and perhaps felt some of these same feelings. They have moxie, a sense of humor. I should take that back. Some of us are 60 these days and still have these feelings. Okay, they have moxie, a sense of humor, excitability, imagination, impulse, all of these things. And they're some of the scrappiest, most resourceful people that Tony knows. And that's who they are. Now, these are all great characteristics, right? This is what I would like to have in my business as well, in my Manatech business. People with imagination, with impulse, excitability, they're resourceful. Those are the kind of people you want to have around. And tons of energy, like abounding energy, endless energy. But he looks at all of them, he goes, you know, the thing you got to do, you can't take this ball of energy and create something because it's got to be somewhere directed. And he says the passion is what we all need to find in our life. What is our passion? Because otherwise, millennials, like, without passion, they're just kind of like hormones on steroids, you know? They're just going 24/7, 18 different directions. And it's one of the reasons I know that some of our presidentials out there, I won't mention names, but Don Partridge is one. He has a tendency to say, I don't want to sign up anyone in their 20s in my downline because they're just going to, 6 months later, they're going to find the next best thing that comes along and jump ship. Because there doesn't seem to be any loyalty or central, you know, directional in their life. They're just all over the place. And that's basically, you know, Tony Robbins would probably agree with that. Because they haven't isolated their passion. If they don't walk with a passion, if they don't have a passion in their life, then we're going to be all over the place. So it's absolutely crucial for us to find our passion. Yesterday when I was at church, you know, we had our high school graduations, and this one gal got up, and she was graduated, you know, summa cum laude. She was, you know, all these scholars and all this stuff, very bright gal, and I know her folks, and I know her well. In fact, I had her in Melody Makers when I was teaching in the music ministry, the 5 and 6-year-olds. This gal was, it just tells me how old I'm getting, but anyway, now she's 18, and good kid, and she wants to major. She's going to, I don't remember the university, but she's going to major in political science, and she wants to be a United States ambassador. someday. And I just thought, wow, that's so directed. If somebody asked me when I graduated from high school what I wanted to be when I grew up, I'd say I would have had no clue. I might have said politics because I was politically inclined, but I don't know. But it was intriguing to see somebody so directed and had such a passion for what she wants to be and so directed. But the passion is the genesis of genius. In fact, he says it's the beginning of all of our genius. When we find that passion in our life, it's so crucial for us because that's where our genius lies. That's where we're going to, if we follow our passion, we're going to expose our genius in the most incredible way. We're going to tap into ourselves and have the fullness of who we are in the most incredible way. It's the force that awakens you every morning. It's the force that keeps you going. It's the force that says get you off the couch. It's the force that moves you out into that arena of going to that marketplace to find 20 new leads at the store if you're passionate about Manatech. It's a passion that just drives you. It awakens you. It blows the lid off your imagination. Your passion will help you become just out there total creativity, and it'll blow off the lid off your capability, your drive. You'll get to new heights. You're going to follow new directions. It shakes your mind free of limiting beliefs, which is so critical for so many of us because we have so many of those. I add here not just passion, perhaps a little personal development would help in there and get a little outside because to me, a lot of people go, well, Mary Jo, personal development, everybody talks about it. And I go, well, to me, personal development is the whole concept of thinking differently, if that makes sense. Because if you don't personally develop, you're going to stay stuck with your limiting beliefs that you had all your life and you'll never move out of them. You're stuck. I was dead stuck 15 years ago. I was so stuck. I mean, I had my whole life outlined. I was successful. I was a lawyer. I didn't need to be taught any. And I was so, not only was I stuck with the things I knew that I knew, but I didn't know what I didn't know. But I didn't really care because I was so successful, so it didn't even matter. So it was kind of one of those, it was like, you know, I was doing my thing, and I didn't, and when I went to that first real, you know, heavy-duty kind of personal development event for my life, I mean, it was monstrous for me. Monstrous, because it just took my brain and it went, tweaked it. And all of a sudden it was about things I didn't know I didn't know. And we can go on and on. I can teach just on that point because I grew so much and learned so much. But passion is helps you break and set your mind free from limiting beliefs. Because what you're passionate about, if you're in the way of you fulfilling what you're passionate about, you're going to work at how do I break down those barriers because I want nothing to stop me, right? So we want to break out of our old patterns of thinking, break away from limiting beliefs, and passion drives us to do that. Passion is what gives us a sense of purpose. So we find something we're passionate about. Some of you are passionate about M5M. You want to end global malnutrition in children. So this is what was a real turnout for you. Some of you are very passionate about health. You're passionate about helping people with glyconutritionals. Some of you are passionate about just helping people secure a better financial status in life by being involved with something that's going to drive them and grow them and give them financial security the rest of their life, which is what Manatech has to offer. So we're passionate about different things, but we have the passion is so critical to link to that passion. We need to find our passion. And a lot of times that's why we talk to people about discovering their why and digging into that, because that why is going to make you cry, right? It's going to drive you, and that's the importance of that. Youthful exuberance. Now let's compare passion so we understand what passion is about. Passion to youthful exuberance. You know, when you have to look at these young millennials, they're just full of vim and vigor because they're full of energy. They're young. They have a lot of drive to do things. But the problem is that when you try to make yourself do something, like I look at this and I think, how many people do I have in my Manatech business who every day it takes effort for them to do something in Manatech. I mean, they have to convince themselves every day to go out there and share the business or share the products or meet new people. It's exhausting for those people. And they're coming from an exuberance perhaps for Manatech and the goal, but what's their passion? Are they passionate about helping people? Are they truly passionate about helping people? Because exuberant about something is not the same as passionate. When you find yourself, you have to push yourself to get outside the box and go and do things every single day, you've got to say to yourself, well, wow, that's you know, I'm really pushing myself. Well, in it, if you're passionate about it, there's no longer the need to push because now you have a drive inside of you that pulls you. So it yanks you out. So like when I look at going to art fairs or craft fairs or pet things or, you know, going to Austin for 2 days on exploratory mission and because we had a couple appointments up there as well and filled it full with people and meetup groups and stuff. I mean, all of that, I didn't have to push myself to do that. That just was an attractor factor that pulled me into that environment and going to the meetup groups pulled me into those. I didn't go kicking and screaming. I was excited. It was new people I was going to meet. And the joy of just being around new people and introducing myself and getting to know what they had to offer me and learning more about their perception of what, you know, health is and what's going on in our health environment and new studies and new, it was exhilarating. So that's it's a passion that we have that allows us to no longer feel like we have to push ourselves. So if you're asking yourself right now and looking at your Manatech business, I find myself pushing myself. Does that mean I'm not passionate about Manatech? Probably you haven't focused on that, but there's another step that needs to be taken besides passion, and we're going to get into that today as well. So we got to look at it when people ask Tony, what is the single most valuable secret to success in life? His answer is one force above all others, one force even beyond being passionate, and that's the word hunger. Be hungry. We are looking for people who are hungry. When we find people who aren't hungry, it's very hard to motivate them, get them on accountability programs, you know, help support them in all their contacts they make and all their three ways and get them to do things that they're just not doing. Do you have somebody in your organization right now that you're working with, a brand new person might have signed up in the last month, 3 months, 2 days, whatever, and you find that they're not returning your calls, they're not doing what they say they're going to do, they're just and you just got to start examining that. Are they just not hungry? Because if they're not hungry, it's going to be hard for you. It's going to be really difficult for you to get people to do what you want them to do when they are not hungry themselves. It's a different level than they could be passionate about M5M, but they're not hungry. Make a difference? And that's what he talked about, the difference between passion versus hunger. Passion is like your first gear. It will get you going. It's kind of like I'm passionate about M5M. I'm passionate about helping children. It'll get me going. It'll get me in action. It'll get me motivated. Hunger, on the other hand, is going to get you where you are going. So if you're not hungry enough, you're going to stay perhaps passionate about M5M, you'll go to Manifest, you'll show up at meetings, you'll talk to a person here and there at church or a person here, and you'll wonder why you never made it to presidential. And the reason is you might have been passionate about the cause, but you weren't hungry. And it really defines a lot of people in our business for us because, you know, passion, it's easy to spark emotion around big dreams. We can have big dreams, especially when people are young. You can have big dreams and all that stuff. But after a while, you know, you can be passionate about something. You can spark the dreams. You can even put down your dream board. You can say, this is my why. And then all of a sudden you're working at it and things don't go your way and people say no and roadblocks happen and somebody tells you, oh, my gosh, network marketing, why would you want to do network marketing? You know, somebody, and you're looking at them like, wow, I thought I loved network marketing, right? And if people are trying to convince you, they become dream snatchers. They get trapped into all of those things. And the problem is that all of a sudden you're gone. You've lost your heart. You've lost your direction because you all of a sudden are starting to feel like, well, this isn't going to work or this isn't, or people don't like me or this, all this stuff gets in the way. Hunger, if you're hungry, none of that matters to you. It's whatever, what other people think of me is none of my business. You are hungry. You know that you know, and you're going to go after it because you're hungry. And it, as Tony said in the commencement, he said, hunger will destroy the fear of failure. And that's a huge statement because we have the fear of failure. So much is in people's hearts because they either haven't progressed to date, they haven't you know, made it to national or executive or whatever their goal is. Their goals keep falling off, and they're wondering why, and they want to blame it on something. They don't want to look in a mirror and say, maybe I need to change my thinking. Maybe I need to find what I'm really passionate about. Maybe I need to just grab on to be bloody hungry about something and say, you know, I'm going to make it happen no matter what. You know, put the stake in the ground. Because hunger is going to drive you through all the fear. Why? Because it's more powerful than fear. Hunger will be your resolve. It's the resolve that locks you into your commitment. In other words, when you see people out there that make commitments and they don't follow through, make commitments, they're not hungry. They're clear. And what distracts them? Oh my gosh, this world is filled with drama. Don't we have drama everywhere? Drama's everywhere. I find it every day I go and work, no matter where I am, no matter where I go to, no matter what people I go visit, guess what? There's drama. There's drama everywhere. So we can find drama each and every step of the way. It's everywhere. So it's out there, and it gets in our way, and we just fail to make our commitments. So what you want to do that by being hungry, the drama doesn't get in your way. Because it's always going to be there. There are people, how many of you can raise your hand and say, I can think of at least one or two or three people in my life that are full of drama, right? And some people don't even see it, but they're all about drama. And it's like I go the opposite direction. Because for me, life happens. Life happens. But when we dwell on it and we assimilate it and we chew it and we spit it back out and we bring it back in and we chew it some more and we tell, I mean, it gets to be like, okay, next, my whole thing is my favorite word, N-E-X-T, right? Next, next, move on. I don't want to discuss what happened. We talked about it. This is the resolution. Move next. No more to be there. So hunger is irrepressible, and that's important for us. That was one of my favorite statements he made. Hunger is irrepressible. When you don't get what you are after, you become disturbed until you get it. And that doesn't mean mentally disturbed. It just means you're on edge. You are not going to let go. You put your teeth into something, and you're going to carry it past the finish line. There is no stopping you. There is no other alternative when you are hungry. Does that make sense? It's one of those things. And that's the drive. That's a drive beyond passion. It's that next, it's like you're stepping into the final gear. Because passion's only one gear. Hunger is the next gear. So we want to look at people who are hungry. We want to make sure we're hungry. If you really want to, it's kind of the whole story about the Spaniards that came over and they were so worried about landing in Mexico and they were going, oh my gosh, we're never going to be able to defeat all these natives and these Aztecs and the Maya are still there and the Aztecs and how are we going to do that? So the commander burned the ships. He said, we have no option. So if you really want to take the island, then burn the boats. Now you have no option. Hunger. It keeps you from settling. If you look at your life right now and you're looking at your Manatech business, are you settled? Are you settled at national director? Are you settled at regional director? Are you settled at, hey, I just like taking the products? And maybe you do, and that's fine. Now, this is, trust me, this is not, you can be on my Monday morning call and just enjoy the information without making a commitment that you want to, you know, get to some higher level, or you want this to be your future, or you want a great, sound financial future with Manatech. Those are decisions you make. Not Mary Jo doesn't make them for you, and I surely open this call to anybody who has a heart and passion for Manatech or heart and passion for networking to do this business. But the idea is if you want, if that's your desire, if the desire in your heart is that you want to be presidential or you want to be making $5,000, $10,000, $20,000 on a monthly basis to get the total financial security from this vehicle, then hunger is crucial. Because otherwise you'll end up settling. Because we can easily settle. Some people get the executive director and they're making a couple thousand dollars and they just settle. They go, well, I don't want to work hard anymore. I don't want to do this. And they start rationalizing. And I'm going to tell you, all that rationalization isn't because they don't have a passion. It's because they're not hungry. I don't want to settle. Because if I have the capacity to be greater, I want to reach that capacity. Because I know what I'm doing with the funds God's given me. And so it's a drive. It's not a drive to accumulate money, it's a drive to use money to change the world. And I think Manatech is a phenomenal vehicle to do that because I can be changing the world at the same time. I can be changing the world by ending global malnutrition, and at the same time I can be changing the world with the funds I get by all the incredible things that I get to do with them. And what a blessing that is, to just be like sprinkling fairy dust everywhere you go. What a blessing that is. And I have special projects we all do on our hearts, but we've got to find that. What is yours? What is your special project? So hunger keeps us from settling. If we look at our life right now, how are we settling? I mean, I can honestly say, you know, because I'm in this Todd Falcone program with accountability, I've never prospected this much probably in 10 years, maybe since I started my first couple of years. I'm out there prospecting like crazy. Last week, I think I picked up, it was my lowest week of the whole program. I only got 38 new contacts last week. How many of you got 38 new contacts in 1 week? It's amazing, isn't it? I was lucky a month ago if I got 2 new contacts in a week. But I'm doing this program and I'm seeing how this is making a gigantic difference in my relationship with how many people get started on the products, how many people I'm touching, how many sign-ups I get. It's unbelievable. And it's not, this isn't anything different than we've always known. It's just a concept of, are you hungry? This is a numbers game that we play. But I don't like calling it a game because it's about saving people's lives. But it is all about numbers. For us to find those gold bars that are buried in our backyard, and we only need 3 or 4 of them, we need to go through a lot of numbers. And in the process of going through a lot of numbers, we're going to find a lot of people who just can't wait to get started on the product. I mean, when I reach out there and I talk to people, there are always people out there that have some sickness or illness that they need some help with. And that's awesome because that's the outreach we have. If people don't see the business, I just got one guy who sent back and said, you know, I've done some research and, you know, my wife and I really aren't interested in getting involved in a network marketing company at this time. We're selling our house. We're doing this. And I said, great. So I'm meeting with him anyway because he's a technical guy and I want to do some work on my computer with regards to follow-ups and that kind of stuff. But I'm presenting to him the idea of who do you know who's got some kind of wants to work on their own health? I mean, how can I help you with your parents or your family members or who do you know? I'm going to tap into him huge as a referral base for people that are sick because that's part of what I do. But how many of us take all those extra steps? We never take no for an answer. We take no. Maybe they don't want to do the business, but maybe they want to just take the products, or maybe they have referrals. How many of those steps are you doing every single time you contact a new person? Are you hungry? So don't settle. Be out there and be hungry. When everyone else is feeling down and out, defeated, and taking a breather, hunger is what keeps you going. So when I hear people out there, you know, today a lot of people are talking about Sam and, you know, Sam's no longer with the company and we've had that conversation going on for a few months now and I'm ecstatic for him. He started his new company. He wants to help end global malnutrition in a different way and I'm voting all black for that guy. That means I'm giving him kudos and all the world to him. I love Sam. He's a great guy. He did a lot for this company, and I love the fact that he's found another vehicle to help end global malnutrition as well because, you know what, we need as many vehicles as we can have. So it's a huge, huge vote in favor of Sam Castor. But some people out there are going, well, I'm just confused. I don't know. They're stuck. And I go, okay, when are you going to choose out? Because it's a choice. And if you're not choosing out, then I'm going to suggest you're not hungry. You're finding a reason to stay stuck. When everyone else is feeling down and out, defeated and taking a breather, it's hunger that keeps you going. And that's what I have. And it's not, again, hunger, what is that hunger for? It's I can see what I'm doing with the cash flow Manatech creates, and I'd love to double, triple, quadruple that if I can, because then I can do 10 times more of what I'm doing. And that's a blessing. If you're not hungry, you'll get comfortable. Passion without hunger looks like 1 step forward, 3 steps back. And this is where I really started thinking about a lot of people. that I work with is passion without hunger looks like one step forward, three steps back until you give up and start on something else altogether. So it's just the inevitability that sooner or later you're going to find something else. And I even am coaching some people that I think are stuck in this same realm. Passion without hunger looks like one step forward, three steps back. One step forward, three steps back. One step forward. You know, we can talk a good talk, but what are our actions showing? What are we really doing? Are we really getting out there and loving on the world and sharing with the world and telling them the great news? And some will, some won't. So what? Good. Next, 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 next. On my 38 leads from last week, am I going to sign up 38 people? Probably not. My suspicion is I might get three. Three out of 38. Well, I already got one of them, so I have two left to go. So that's not bad. How many of you are signing up three every week? I don't know. Not very many. Statistically, I know what the statistics are with Manatech, and there aren't very many doing that, but it's because we're not putting forth that energy to do it. So be hungry. Stay out of comfortable. Don't make one step forward, three steps back. Don't get into self-pity parties. Don't get into feeling sorry for yourself. Don't get into all the stuff, I don't know where I'm going. Don't get into the concept, where's Sam? Don't get into the concept, I don't know how to sell youth. I don't know enough. All this garbage that keeps you stuck. You got to bust through it all and just go out and do. There are millions of people out there waiting to hear from you. They love to hear from you. And I'm telling you, people, some of these meetup groups, they're a blast. You're going to meet a lot of dynamic people. And that's a good place to find because you're looking for dynamic people. You don't want to find dead people. You want to find dynamic people. And then when there's a safety net beneath you, that's another thing that stops people and freezes them to death. Like you have enough money to get by. Well, let me ask you a question. You have enough money to get by. Is that your definition of living? Is that going to fulfill all your dreams in life? Your job provides enough to live on and have just a little extra. Really? So your mantra is, I'd rather help my boss's dreams come true than make my own dreams come true. Is that your mantra? Your parents are going to leave you an inheritance because you have really wealthy parents. Oh, my gosh. This one really drives me nuts. This is sadness extraordinaire. Really sadness. And I know how much is going on because I see people manipulate all the time about how they protect the inheritance of their parents. Make sure the government pays for their retirement homes. Make sure the government pays, even though I moved their $1 million over into a trust 6 years ago. I mean, that's a standard activity today. And then we complain about big government. Yeah, it's hilarious. Unbelievable. But why are we doing that? You're freezing. Your better bet is, like, I can't wait till whenever I get my inheritance, I mean, it's not that you can't wait till your parents pass, but the idea is when I get my inheritance, I'm going to put it immediately into a foundation, and this is what I'm going to do with it. That's what you should be saying, is an opportunity to create something better for other people. All these things all this thought processes are things that lock you up and paralyze you with debilitating and in inertia. And that means that what happens is you're just dying a slow death. So hunger, we want to be hungry. So in order to be hungry, first of all, you got to do is you got to find out your passion, though. You got to start with passion because you have a direction. You need to know your why. You need to get a directive on that. And he put some great information. I know I'm getting close to the end here today. He put some information in this talk about how to find your passion, which I think was really fascinating, a different perspective. So I shared it with you in the call today because I think it's a unique way to go out there and pursue a passion, to find your passion. What am I truly passionate about? What are you really here for? He says, don't ask yourself what you want. Rather, what do you want to create? What is your gift? What is the one thing you could give every day and never get tired of giving? What is that? For you, what is that? What will you share with this world? And when you get to that point, does it have to be one thing? Not necessarily, but you may not be able to define it as one thing, but some of you can define it as one thing. But some of you are, when you read that, you have no idea what that is right now. You're just staring at it because we've become numb. What happens to us is somebody robbed us of our dreams. We let them go. So now we don't even know what our deep core passion is because we just kept masking it. We kept layering more and more tiers of mud on top of it until we couldn't even establish the heartbeat. The pings were gone. The heartbeat's devastated and gone. The blood flow has been cut off. We just because we were depressed when we thought about it and couldn't have it, so we just got rid of it. Instead of going after it, we took the low road. We disposed of it. So go back and say, how do I find my passion? How do I find what I'm truly passionate about? He gave two ways to find your passion, and they're totally diametrically opposed. One way is you find yourself something that you're really, really interested in. So how many people, like, where are your interests? Some people are really interested. Mary Jo, I am just really interested in ending this GMO stuff and this, you know, all this, you know, genetic modification and bioengineering of foods and all this stuff. It just makes me so angry. You're so passionate about it. I mean, you have a passion. You want it gone. You want to do something about it. Great. How many of you are, you know, you might be passionate about gardening. You just love, oh man, I just started gardening this year and it just floats my boat. I'm on a high when I'm outside and I'm doing my gardening and I got my strawberry gardens, my blueberry gardens, my raspberries. I've got my squash and my pumpkins and my jalapenos, whatever's out. Maybe gardening's your passion. I don't know. But each one of us have passions and you might have more than one, but you got to first find it. You got to uncover it. You got to dig all the stuff you pile on top of it and find something you're really passionate about and then start immersing yourself in it. Don't just volunteer, but immerse. Go through an immersion. Do your homework. Model the people who have done it best. Commit every cell in your body to learning and living that life and see how that makes you feel. And that's a great way to really find your passion. You know, make sure you're testing the waters. You find something you really love, you really think it, and then just do it all out. The second way to find it, and if what happens in this is if it's not really what you're passionate about, you're gonna end that process and you're gonna keep looking. A second way to find your passion is to go the opposite direction. He says, describe your job. He called it the job from hell. What would that look like if you got to sit down today and you wrote on a piece of paper everything you hate most about a job, and you just made a list of that, and you built a job that has all those characteristics. Everything you hate most about job. I have people that smoke all around me. I have people that cuss around me. I have, I have five layers of bosses. Every time I want to make a decision, I have to go through four committee meetings. I mean, I'm just giving you some ideas, but these are the kind of things that would, no one asks for my opinion. I just have to follow the ABCs and do the same thing over and over and over again every day. It's pure rote. It feels like I'm in a factory just putting widgets together. I mean, you put all this together, the most devastating part of what your most hated job, a job from hell, would look like, feel like, taste like, the environment that would drive you crazy, all that stuff. And then from that anger and emotion you generate around reading that and putting that together, he's saying from that place, then you flip the page and describe the best work you could do. And that, because it's from that same, what he's doing is, you know how people talk about the emotion of hate and love are so close that you can twist it? That's why sometimes when you get in a fight with your spouse, you can hate him as much as you love him, because you already have that intensity of emotion. And when you switch it, it doesn't take much to go from one end to the other. Because it's not going from one end, because it's at that high intensity level is where you already are, at an intense level. So that's what he's doing here. He's getting you to an intense level of almost hate or anger and just, just how awful things can be. And now he's just telling you, shift. Now describe the best possible work environment. And it'll start unlocking some of those feelings about what you're passionate about, what you truly love. And once you determine your passion, you must serve something greater than yourself. In other words, we can be passionate about something, but the question is never what we're going to get out of it. It's the only way to greatness is about serving others. So who is it that you want to serve? What does that look like for you long term? In his commencement exercise, he also talked about the distinction that will set you apart is your commitment to mastery. And I thought that was really critical for us to, in our Manatech business, committing to be good at what we do. Because, you know, we talked earlier about going out and talking to as many people as possible, and Mary Jo's obviously on the realm of doing that every week now, and just consistent behavior, getting myself out there, meeting new people and getting new contacts and become, but that's the numbers part of it, the contact part of it. But there's also that skill part of it. We want to master how we communicate with people, being great listeners. You know, how do we stand upright and just really that sense of we know who we are and we're ecstatic about what we do, but we're great listeners and we're open to hear and share ideas with other people. And just being in that place of contentment and yet joy and but skillful around what we're doing. And that's the concept of mastery. It's a concept of mastering the skills around networking. What do I need to get trained on? What are things that I'm weak in? How, you know, acknowledging those. Talk to, if you don't know how to fill those gaps, how to be better at those things, then talk to people around you. Talk to your upline, talk to crossline, say, hey, you know what? I have a problem with inviting. I have a problem with presentation. I have a problem with breaking the ice. Whatever that problem is, get those skills developed. Because if you take another month without developing that skill, you're going to stay stuck one more month. So this truly is about mastery. Become the best at what we choose to do. We want to be the best. Vie to be the best. That's why I keep reading books. When new things come out, I love to teach and train. I love to find out new ideas and do something different. We learn from the masters and then master it ourselves. Why would I spend $500 taking a Todd Falcone accountability class, right? Because I want to learn from the masters. So clearly something in this course can float my boat and teach me new things that I can then pass on to people in my organization as well. It grows me and helps me grow others, and that's the value of it. Learn from the masters and master yourself. And we live in a world where there are no limits for those who can create results. So let's all go out there and create results. But we need to be hungry about getting those results. We need to have that hunger inside of us. And when you find the people out there, you meet people and you get to share with them and you find that hunger, people, that's the person. That's the gold bar. But we can develop hunger with people too. So it's not, don't discount people, but really we're looking for people who are hungry. That'll make the difference. Otherwise you're going to be out there herding cats instead of really turning this place on fire. And that's what we want to do, right? So the final quote came out of his speech. He said, get hungry, design the life you want to live with massive action, flexibility, obsessive discipline, and a sense of purpose to serve something outside of yourself. You will develop the ability to consistently produce results, and you will effectively create your own path to greatness. So with that, people, I'm done. Get hungry, right? Okay, we have a few minutes. Anyone, any comments, any thing I can answer, questions? Did this open your eyes to a new way of looking at where you are, or how stuck you might be, or how stuck some people in your organization are? Everybody's good this morning, Lyd. Okay, everyone, have a great week. Have a great last week of the business period. Don't forget to take care of all the nuts and bolts of closing it out right, and we look forward to having you next week. Thanks, everyone. Love you all.